Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, KCNR radio listeners. This is Blake Fisher filling in for Carl and Linda Bott today. I hope you had a fantastic Super Bowl Sunday and that everyone is having an easy time getting up. And hopefully your team, which you were rooting for, won. I personally feel like the 49ers should have won that, but what can you do? I'm excited to be filling in for Carl and Linda. They're out for today, but I believe they'll be returning tomorrow. And I'm joined, as always, with Christina as well. Good morning, Christina.
Very good morning.
Did you watch the Super Bowl yesterday?
If to be honest, no. Oh. I'm a bit far from American football. I'm more a soccer girl.
The European football.
Exactly.
Wonderful. I understand. Well, cool.
But how's things, by the way? Because I fell asleep.
Well, you'll be waking up rested today. This is a. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Unfortunately, not. I'm not a football fan either. Sorry.
That's okay, Frank. You probably watched the Super Bowl, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm home Pittsburgh Steeler, born in Pittsburgh. So I watched it.
Did your team win? That you were rooting for yesterday. I know it wasn't the Steelers. Who were you rooting for?
Well, I just was excited to see. Of course, the local win would be San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's also whoever wins because it's like crazy, going things this, who that.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking, too. So, today, we have a couple of guests. I think we're going to be joined with Peter Griggs later in the day from Shasta College. But I'm joined with Miss Scarlett Rose today. Scarlett Rose, thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me here.
So, Scarlett, I read your bio prior to this. There's a lot of things that you work on from the AMMV to quilt making to designing. So I'm excited to learn more about you and for you to talk about what are some things that you're working on right now. So, Scarlett, tell us a little bit about yourself and what brings you to the show today.
Well, today I'm focused on the Merchant Marines. It was one of those things I grew up as a child with my dad talking about his voyages around the world and the different countries he went to. And, of course, he did serve in the Navy during World War II because he was right at the age for that. But as soon as he got out, he did one tour. He went into the Merchant Marines because my younger uncle Bill, his baby brother, wasn't old enough to go into the military during World War II, and the only people who would take him was the Merchant Marines. So he signed up at 16. Mm. So I have two in the family that started with the Merchant Marines. Dad stayed through the Korean War into pretty much the Cold War, and then he resigned. My uncle stayed in during World War II, a little bit afterwards, left for a while, went back, got his high school diploma, which he had bailed high school, mm-hmm. Started a family, but then was recruited back during the Vietnam War. So he served for a time during that event. And so I didn't think anything. You're a kid, you hear these stories, and it's interesting, it's fun, and wow. But as I got older and started learning about veterans and how things are done and everything, I found out that Merchant Marines weren't considered veterans. And that seemed kind of strange to me when you have people traveling around in ships carrying ammunition, armaments, other things, and they're going into the middle of active conflicts. I mean, even things like the invasion of Normandy, all those ships that were coming up on the 80th anniversary of that this summer, and they're trying to honor all of those veterans. There were 5 Merchant Marine ships, again, loaded with ammunition, in that convoy of all those people landing. Because once you empty your gun and your backpack of ammunition, you need more, right? And you need it immediately. So those ships had to be there. Now, they were not drafted. They were volunteers. They were people who worked in the merchant service. That's their job. They transport cargo around the world. But they were there specifically to support our troops and provide them with what they needed as fast as they could get it.
Well, you've been doing so much research on this specific branch. Why do you think it's so difficult to get them recognized, or what are some of the challenges that you're seeing?
It's hard because it wasn't an organized military structure. There are some, you know, guidelines that have been set over the years that have said, you know, this is the Merchant Marine, this is what they'll do, they'll provide supplies. And, you know, they were contracted with the different companies that are shipping companies. Mm-hmm. Some of them focused on passenger ships. They were the ones who helped ferry troops, or in the cases if we had military bases in different places, would bring families over if that was permitted. But again, just a matter of shifting the supplies, whether it was for active conflicts or, again, to supply bases. We also supplied things during the 50s when we were doing all that nuclear bomb testing in the South Pacific. Mm-hmm. All of those areas, you know, that's a secret base. You can't just have anyone show up with supplies. The Merchant Marine did that.
What was – so Frank and I were talking a little bit about this. So you yourself never served in the military, but it's important because your family were all Merchant Marines. And – you did a lot of research to make sure that after, you know, they got some recognition, especially your father. Tell us a little bit about that process and what kind of – what was the kickoff for you to start working? Because now you're in a position of
– Correct, yes. I'm a vice president of the American Merchant Marine Veterans Association. I joined about 5-6 years ago. It was particularly because when my dad passed away in 2003, mm-hmm. it took me a while to go out into the garage and go through those trunks he had carefully stored there. I had grown up with all of these stories mm-hmm. and that type of thing, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily click with kids. But when I started digging through there, it was like he wrote a journal. Every time his ship went somewhere, what port he went into, what pier they tied up to, when they left, where they went. And then he kept things like his port passes. I was allowed port in Korea, Busan, Korea. Wasn't that during the Korean War? He actually went ashore in Korea.
Wow.
And then he kept, he took photographs. He was a photographer. I have photographs. He shot movie film, home movie film. All this documentation about it. He had his check stubs, his pay stubs. And the Merchant Marine, they were very good with him. He was in what they call the Military Sea Transportation Service. The pay stub says on there, your normal hours, if you went within the war zone, there was a little bit of a pay bump, so they tracked that very carefully. I can tell you, for the entire time of the Korean War, the 3 years, he served 120 days within the war zone,
oh my
according
goodness.
To his pay stub.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was a – Korean War is a brutal – all wars are brutal, but Korean War was devastating. That was
right. And it was a land-based war, but you needed that support. You needed all of those supplies to get to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And there was battles along the ports. I mean, a lot of them were mined. Can you imagine sailing a ship into a port wondering if your ship's going to collect one of those magnetic mines?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then in some cases, if it was actually something like the Incheon invasion or something like that, you have destroyers shooting over your ship into the hills
mm-hmm.
and people on the shore shooting back. Are they going to ignore this little bitty ship
no.
that sails front and is trying to port and unload stuff, particularly ammunition?
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting on a bomb, you know, if it's a tanker loaded with fuel, you know. And they're not going to avoid it because you're supposedly this civilian ship just bringing supplies.
Right.
You know, who cares? They're going to destroy anything they help because that's it. That's how you cripple military attacks is you
destroy their supplies.
Yeah, it's crucial.
So you've convinced me. What are some of the challenges that you know, to have Merchant Marines be recognized as
well, that's the thing. There is a path for people to be recognized. The WACs and the WAVES did that in World War II and the Seabees because that was a specialized group. They were able to go before the Civilian Military Review Board with their paperwork and prove that they provided a vital service in support of the standard military, the Army, the Navy, the Merchant Marines, or the, and the Air Force. Mm-hmm. So they get veteran status. Mm-hmm. When the Merchant Marines tried that, they got turned down.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and we've taken that. The case has been tried or brought before them several times. It finally took a court case, a federal court case in 1988, because we couldn't get anything to be passed through Congress. Congress is too busy fighting among themselves with all the political stuff, you know. So trying to get them to make the Merchant Marines just a division of the armed forces, you know, like the Coast Guard, like this new Space Force that we have. They haven't gone anywhere yet, but they're the Space Force, you
right.
know. That hasn't happened. So it took a court case. But because it was focused on the World War II Merchant Marines, those are the only ones currently recognized. Merchant Marine who served during the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Gulf War, no recognition.
No,
they can't be buried in military cemeteries. Mm-hmm. They can't receive treatment at military hospitals. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't get the benefits that normal veterans get.
That is... I'm really glad that you came today. This is really important information to learn about. I would have never thought, I would have always thought it was under a specific branch. When you hear the, you know, name Marine, you'd think that's mm-hmm. either under the Marines or it's nautical. You'd be in the Navy for
right.
for this. So what steps are you working on? Because I see a list and you've been the vice president, right?
Just since the beginning of the year, they asked me to take over this job. There's 8 regional vice presidents, so I'm California, Hawaii, and Australia.
Oh my goodness, that's a large region.
Pretty big, pretty big. Not that I necessarily get to travel to all of those places. I mean, we do Zoom meetings and email nowadays. But, you know, they're in the process of doing other things besides just trying to make sure we try to get this veteran done. I mean, if you know a really good lawyer who'd love to do a federal case, we'd love to have somebody.
Well, we're going to come back with Scarlett Rose a little bit after this break. Thanks, Christina, for letting us know. We'll be back with KCNR 96.5 radio.
What you on?
But you better not kill the girl. Hey, 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 man on the dance floor. But you better not kill the moon.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, I'm Matt Plummer, and I'm running for Shasta County District 4 Supervisor because I believe Shasta County could be the best, freest place in California. Instead, crime is increasing while a floor of our jail was closed for over a year, and the sheriff loses deputies. Homeless camps spill onto our streets, our roads are seventh worst in the state, and we lose every battle to Sacramento. The incumbent has had 11 years to fix these issues, but they have only gotten worse. Vote Matt Plummer by March 5th. Paid for by Matt Plummer for Supervisor 2024.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Good morning, KCNR listeners. Welcome back to 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio, the Carl and Linda Bott Show. Today, this is Blake Fisher filling in for Carl and Linda Bott. We are exactly the day after the Super Bowl, so I hope everyone is waking up and didn't, you know, that day after Super Bowl hangover. Hope everybody's doing okay. It was a good Super Bowl yesterday. We talked about it. You know, Frank saw it. Like I said, 49ers should have won. But comment. Tell us your comments on KCNR's Facebook to see what's going on with what you thought, how the Super Bowl went. Otherwise, we have a phone call from Miss Anne Marie on the line right now to tell us what's happening this week in Shasta County.
And there's a lot happening. Good Monday morning, everyone.
Hi, Anne Marie.
Good morning. Well, today, February 12th, as you know, is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Born on this date back in 1809. In 1860, he was elected the 16th President of the United States. So just a date to note on the calendar. This past week, we checked out a local ghost town located a few miles outside of Redding at Shasta State Historic Park. Highway 299, 6 miles west of Redding. There's quite a bit to see, and it's all alongside the road. You can see the brick buildings that lined the main street, and right across the street, there is a museum. You can go inside and see the old courtroom and jail among the attractions. The ghost town is free to check out, and the museum is $3 for an adult, 18 and older. Children 6 to 17 are $2, and those 5 and under are free. If you are looking for a fun little outing, check it out. For more information, call 530-243-8194. And as we begin our community calendar today, February 12th, Carl's Jr. is giving away a free Western bacon cheeseburger to their reward members with no purchase necessary. You will need to download the Carl's Jr. app prior and join the free My Rewards program. This is nationwide, not just limited to our area, but it's today, February 12th only. The Boomtown Museum will host their annual Valentine's Cookie Sale on Monday, February 12th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Tuesday, February 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Located at 1525 Medium Avenue in the city of Shasta Lake. For more information, call 530-275-3995. On Valentine's Day, February 14th, you can enjoy a candlelit dinner with your special someone and a screening of a timeless classic at Huff's at Bridge Bay. Located at 10300 Bridge Bay Road in Redding. Tickets are $100 per couple and will include dinner and the viewing of the classic film on a big screen. For more information, call 530-308-8812 or check them out on Facebook at Huff's at Bridge Bay. On Thursday, February 15th, the American Cancer Society Discovery Shop in Redding will host a 50% off sale on their blue tagged merchandise. You can get some great deals while helping support the American Cancer Society. The Discovery Shop is located at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, Unit B, in Reading. For more information, call 530-221-3970. Are you interested in a volunteer position, helping give back? On Saturday, February 17th, Turtle Bay Exploration Park will hold their volunteer information hour from 2 to 3 p.m. There are opportunities for teens and adults to volunteer. You can find the volunteer applications online at turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park is located at 844 Sundial Bridge Drive in Reading. For more information, call 530-243-8850. The Reading Bridal Show will take place on Sunday, February 18th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Reading Civic Auditorium, located at 700 Auditorium Drive. The event is being hosted by NorCal Weddings and will feature photographers, florists, DJs, local wedding venues, and more. Tickets for the Reading Bridal Show are $10 plus fees for general admission, or four-pack for $30 plus fees. Children 13 and under are free. To purchase tickets, visit readingcivic.com, and for additional event details, visit norcalweddings.com. And finally, the Veterans Home of California Reading is hiring. Several positions are available. To reach their Human Resources Department, please call 530-722-1306. The Veterans Home is located at 3400 Knighton Road in Reading. Check them out on Facebook at Veterans Home of California Reading. And that is just a sample of events taking place this week. I'm Anne Marie with your community calendar, and the community calendar is brought to you by Siskiyou Insurance, located at 857 Mistletoe Lane in Reading. Call them today at 530 area code 224-2345.
Thanks, Anne Marie. What's the best way for people to add to the community calendar?
Well, you can find me on social media, or you can visit the website, KCNR's website, and you can submit from there.
I love that. Anne-Marie, thank you. I hope you have a wonderful week. Did your team that you were rooting for yesterday win?
Oh, my dear. Unfortunately, I'm not a big sports fan.
Man, this is a...
But I will tell you, if I had to choose, I would pick the 49ers.
They lost, but... Okay. Anne-Marie, thanks for always joining us, and we will hear from you next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Christina, what time is our next break for the day?
We have 3 minutes.
We have 3 minutes. Well, we'll finish this last half an hour with Ms. Scarlett Rose, the Region 8 Vice President for Australia, Hawaii, and California American Merchant Marine Veterans Association. Scarlett, thanks for staying with us for this top of the hour.
Oh, you're welcome.
During the break, we were talking so much more about, you know, what are things that need to be done to make sure that the merchant mariners get recognized as, you know, as veterans for their service. So I'm excited to learn more about that on the bottom half an hour of the KCNR Carl and Linda Bott Show, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. We will be back after the break.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. I've lived in Shasta County for over 50 years, and it's been a true honor to serve as chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors this last year. Proven conservative leadership. I'm leading the effort to build a new correctional facility for Shasta County. Working closely with the sheriff, public works, and our CEO, I believe this will help immensely reduce crime in Shasta County. Thank you for your support. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474, for your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet. Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Go with Masano.
Mark Masano is a 29-year veteran of the California Highway Patrol who retired with honors.
Go with Masano.
Mark's a proven leader in law enforcement and government. Someone who gets things done.
Go with Masano.
A new voice for the North State who will finally represent everyone in District 1.
Go with Masano.
My name is Mark Masano, and I approve this message.
Before by Masano for Assembly 2024.
Your vacation is over, but the worst part, the long drive home from Sacramento. Unless you chose to fly from Redding, at Redding Regional Airport, your takeoff and landing are close to home, with quick check-ins and nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. You can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Next time, skip the drive to and from Sacramento. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 25th annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 9th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you would like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350. That's 530-526-8350. Or online at nwtf.org/event. Sponsored by Johnny Morris Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Benelli, Voigt Harness Company, La Crosse, Sportsman's Guide, and Tacticam.
Please join Election Integrity Project California and United Sovereign Americans on February 17th, 11 a.m. at Redding Red Lion Hotel, Sierra Conference Room, for an exciting election presentation. United Sovereign Americans is working with Californians to develop court-worthy evidence regarding violation of federal law to certify invalid elections. Invalid elections include those in which voter rolls contain registrants that do not qualify to be counted, such as deceased, duplicates, or those who have moved. Mark your calendars, February 17th, 11 a.m., Red Lion Hotel, Sierra Conference Room, for an exciting election presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, KCNR listeners. Welcome back to 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio, the Carl and Linda Bott Show. I'm Blake Fisher, filling in for Carl and Linda today. I love that song, Christina. That was a great song choice. Well, welcome back. We are at the bottom half an hour of the first hour of the show. We are here today with Miss Scarlett Rose, who we got to talk to at the first 15 minutes, and then we had Anne-Marie's weekly update. So Scarlett Rose is going to join us for the last half an hour, and we get to learn more about what she's working on. She's an incredible, wonderful researcher and passionate about projects to recognize people that need to be recognized for their work and heritage and history. Scarlett Rose is the American Merchant Marine Veterans Vice President for Region 8 for Australia, Hawaii, and California. Scarlett Rose, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
I love your Star Wars sweater.
Of course.
It's wonderful.
Baby Yoda, one of my favorites.
I love Baby Yoda. And Frank, thanks for bringing her today to learn
quite
more
welcome.
About these. I'm excited. So basically, if you were tuning in for the first half an hour, we were talking about Merchant Marines, and they are serving active military members and serve during active wartime, outside of wartime, delivering supplies, but they're not being recognized for their service afterwards. And the only current Merchant Marines that are recognized were from World War II, and that was through a federal court case in the 1980s.
1988, so a long time ago, almost 40 years.
There's still a lot of work to be done. So tell us, Scarlett, before we left, you know, you started this project with your family, wanting your father to be recognized, and he was organized, and he was quite organized with what he had. So what are some other challenges with other merchant marines that you get to work with? Are they as organized? And if they're not as organized, what do you need to do?
Some of them do. I mean, most of them tended to be really good about saving their paperwork. You know, you save your pay stubs. If you did keep a journal, you might have that. A lot of them did take pictures. I mean, cameras were a little bit more common after World War II, and you took photographs. So some of them do have quite a bit of documentation about their history. It's just finding the formal documentation, the government paperwork. For those of you who do genealogy and you're a member of Ancestry, you can get passenger lists. Most merchant marine ships in the Pacific Ocean pass through Honolulu or Pearl Harbor. So then there's crew passenger lists there that will list merchant marine ships and tell you who served on a particular ship and what time they passed through, where they might have been going, or where they were returning from. So there are records in odd places besides what's buried in government archives. I mean, you need to be a spelunker to go in and try to find those. But they are there, and it's just the merchant marines, most of the gentlemen that I've met, so many of them were told, you're just a civilian.
Wow.
You know, thanks for the help, and we appreciate you bringing the ammunition and stuff, but you're just a civilian. And so they didn't know. In some cases, the World War II ones, they didn't know they finally did get some recognition. They can be buried out at IGO. We have some World War IIs out there. But, you know, the current ones, like my dad with the Korean War and my uncle in Vietnam, they're not considered veterans. Mm. The paperwork does actually exist. There are government forms for port passes on the back that say, you know, all the stuff you're not supposed to do in port. One of them says, if you get taken up by the local police, you will be court-martialed. Hmm. That's a military board that comes and judges you for criminal activity. And supposedly that only happens to military people, but they did it to merchant marines. We found the evidence of at least two dozen cases during the Korean War alone of merchant marines who were court-martialed. They had uniform regulations. I always hear people saying, oh, they didn't have to wear uniforms. We found in 1951 three pages printed in the Military Sea Transportation Service magazine that they were putting out quarterly, several pages detailing how you were supposed to dress on board ship, how you were supposed to have your dress uniform. They did base it on an Army uniform, but the patches were different, the insignia was different, the hats, the emblems that they wear on their hats were different. They went through that whole process of creating merchant marine identifiable emblems. And so if you're doing all that, doesn't that make you military?
Yeah, it does. It should. I mean, the fact to be called a civilian, you know, you're doing all of the procedures as an active service member, and then to not be recognized afterwards, I think that should be something that should get changed as fast as possible. But you're talking about it's still difficult, and Congress right now is not able to.
No, and that's why we're hoping the national organization, I mean, last time it took a lawyer, a law firm to bring this federal court case in 1988. So if anybody knows a really good lawyer who'd love to tilt at this windmill, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. What would, you know, we have your contact information right here. Is this something that you want to
sure.
share for your contact?
I put on here the current president of the American Merchant Marine Association is Captain Drew Diamata. And he has his email on Gmail, drudimatata@gmail.com. You can email him. He does live in Florida, and his phone number is 239-243-3409. And we do have a website, the Merchant Marine Veterans Association. It's ammv.us.
And then it looks like you have this wonderful write-up talking about the National Convention. Is that something that you you'll be able to go to?
Unfortunately, my allowance for being a vice president won't allow me to travel to New Orleans. That's a bit expensive. A number of people will be there, though. That's coming up April 18th through the 21st. They do a convention every year. This one they picked New Orleans because there is a World War II museum there that has a huge section of Merchant Marine memorabilia. If you do have somebody in the family that has stuff, people sometimes ask me, what do you do with that? I donated my dad's stuff to Fort Mason down in San Francisco. They collect stuff in their archives because he was based out of San Francisco. So depending on where your Merchant Marine was based out of, if he was East Coast, chances are it would be better if it went
to where?
To wherever a lot of them went out of New Orleans. Go to an area where that is. So the National Convention is coming up. It's about a four-day event. And they usually, the Merchant Marines of World War II were awarded a Congressional Gold Medal a couple years back, kind of right in the middle of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So all living Merchant Marines can receive one themselves. They give you a nice big 3-inch bronze replica of the gold medal.
Wow.
And for anybody like me who has a Merchant Marine in the family who's deceased, mm-hmm. you can apply for and receive free a little inch and a half one. And I just realized I normally wear that when I go to any event. I got a neck chain and the ring holder to put a coin in it so you can wear it as a pendant.
Mm.
And I normally wear it that way to honor my father.
That's really special. Well, you've put in the work to make sure that you can proudly represent your father, and you've represented him in many fantastic ways. And for a lot of other of these service members. So if Vice President, you started this year, but how many service members, Merchant Marines, do you get to work with on a regular basis?
There's not as many up in this area. Mm-hmm. There are the chapter in San Francisco, and then there's one in Santa Rosa. San Francisco, I'm thinking, is about a couple dozen men. Santa Rosa might be a dozen. There's some in Sacramento. Up here, I only know personally one Vietnam Merchant Marine mm-hmm. living. And there's probably more out there, but again, they may not even know. They still think they've been told they're civilians, and they don't get anything.
Well, you were saying, you know, some of these things, so they say active service member. They could be court-martialed.
Correct.
They have to wear a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
They are delivering supplies and ammunition to our bases.
And troops.
And troops.
During active invasions sometimes.
And what I was also told is while they're on these merchant ships, they are unarmed, right?
Yes.
The ships are unarmed.
Yeah. World War II, there were some that had Navy armed guards. I think they mounted like a few little really old guns at one end. But the majority of Merchant Marine ships did not have any way to shoot back at anybody that shot at them or tried to torpedo them. They had no defensive anything. They're sitting ducks.
Well, goodness, they need that. What's timeline do you see of something being changed? Because if the last thing happened in 1980s, and it's already 40 years later, what needs to happen that this?
Well, we have been attempting to get congressional bills passed.
Uh-huh.
You know, you always have to have somebody sponsor that, get enough people, and we've come close. That's the thing is you keep inching toward the goal, and then something else ditches it.
Mm-hmm.
Some political ploy, something else. I mean, they almost killed the Congressional Gold Medal thing. I was watching that online because you can actually see when votes come up. That's the one neat thing about the Internet now. You can actually watch Congress and see what they're doing. And they pulled kind of a bait-and-switch thing where they renamed our bill and changed out what was in it for something else. But it keeps that title, and that's what everybody was voting for with that number.
Hmm.
And then it's like, wait a minute, that's no longer the Merchant Marine Congressional Gold Medal bill. They've crammed some other crap in there. Now we need to make sure they either take that out and put it back in or put in another bill, but then you have to train everybody, what's the new number, what's the new bill, and try to get it through.
Mm-hmm.
We finally got that through. We got the Congressional Gold Medal. But that's the uphill climb. You're dealing with all of this political atmosphere over a very simple, straightforward issue.
Right.
We just want Merchant Marines. I mean, yes, when they travel in and out of any active war zone in the world, anywhere the U.S. is involved, they should be recognized for that time and receive veteran status.
Mm-hmm.
If that means they have to have so many days within a war zone, that's fine. That's how any veteran has to qualify for a medal.
Mm-hmm.
You have to serve a certain period of time in order to get a specific medal.
Mm-hmm.
follow the same rules as anybody else, but allow them to do that.
You know, we have our representative is Congressman LaMalfa's office, but, you know, with the 435 members, for anybody that's listening, because I know that we do have a very active political and military supporter listener base on KCNR Radio. When I got to work in LaMalfa's office, one of the biggest things that you learn is people call in and they want to be involved and want these congressional members to do work. And congressional members are quite busy, so you never really get to communicate directly to these congressional members. So what I want our listeners to know that when you call or contact any congressional office, you should reach out to the either legislative director, staff member, or ask for the military or veterans staffer. Because these are the direct staffers that connect to your congressional representatives and are hired to do the research and design legislation to pass over to these congressional members. So I want our listeners to know that when you call, ask for a staffer that focuses on military or veterans affairs, because those are the ones that are working for you. These are the ones that are working for the congressional members that you elect. And that's just a little bit of advice, because this is something we could talk about. But we're going to hit that break. Christina's giving me the break sign. So you're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. And then when we come back, we'll finish up with Miss Scarlet Rose. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Hobbs, running for supervisor in District 2. We need to fight tyrannical state overreach in this county, and I'm just the person for the job. Shasta must maintain its sovereignty. A vote for me is a vote for local control over hand-counted elections, no state-funded windmills or other green energy nonsense, and absolutely no mask mandates or lockdowns. Make Shasta great again and vote for Laura Hobbs on March 5th. And visit me at VoteLauraHobbs.com for more info.
Paid for by Laura Hobbs for Supervisor. District 2, 2024.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years' experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hello, this is Wynn Carpenter. I'm running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 3, and I'm ready to serve. I would be honored to be your conservative representative and look forward to doing so. I support the direction the majority of the current board is headed. I support the elimination of the impact fees. I support the Charter County proposal, which will give the local government more control on what we do and how we do it. I support the Second Amendment as stated in the federal and state constitutions. Therefore, I would push to make Shasta County a constitutional carry county. I support a fair and transparent election with traceable and verifiable data. I will stand with the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors to fight the state and its heavy-handedness to shove the Fountain Windmill Project down our throats. I will stand against any imposition from the state, no matter the issue, on legislative or executive matters under the jurisdiction of the Board of Supervisors of Shasta County. Paid for by the committee to elect Wynn Carpenter, Supervisor, District 3.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Hobbs. As supervisor, I will fight for all the citizens of Shasta County. Some of the issues I care about are hand-counted elections at the precincts, a fair and just settlement for the victims of the Igo Ono fire and the Acid Canal debacle, and defending Shasta's sovereignty from tyrannical state-down control. I'm against the windmills in Shasta County, and I support the Second Amendment. To find out more, visit VoteLauraHobbs.com. Vote Laura Hobbs on March 5th and make Shasta great again.
Paid for by Laura Hobbs for Supervisor. District 2, 2024.
Welcome back to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. I'm Blake Fisher, filling in for Carl and Linda Bott on the Carl and Linda Bott Show. And we're finishing up our first hour in about 10 minutes. So over the break, Scarlett Rose and I were talking about, you know, some of the other projects to get these merchant marines recognized. And for those tuning in, I'm joined with Scarlett Rose, the Region 8 Vice President for the American Merchant Marine Veterans Association, and she oversees Australia, Hawaii, and Californian Merchant Marines. Scarlett, once again, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I'm really enjoying being here.
So there was one thing that you were working on with that we were talking about with the Korean veterans.
Well, the Korean War Merchant Marine currently are not considered veterans by the U.S. government.
Uh-huh.
They don't get DD-214s. Mm-hmm. However, the South Korean government does recognize their service. Part of that is through the Hungnam evacuation, where merchant marine ships rescued thousands of Koreans during the North Korean invasion. And because of that, they will award Korean merchant marine the Ambassador's Peace Medal, beautiful medal. And that was something that I was glad to be a part of back in the day, because I know in our area, Kim Chamberlain was our active Korean War person go-to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to know her. And when I had told her about my research on my dad and how he served during Korea, she said, we should get him the Ambassador's Peace Medal. And I said, but he doesn't have a DD-214. We'll take care of that. So we started talking to the consul and everything. And it turned out at that time, this was a few years back, the current president of South Korea at that time, his parents had been rescued by a merchant marine ship during the Hungnam evacuation.
Hmm.
So, yes, they provided a valuable service to the South Korean people. And so they awarded the one surviving person of the Meredith Victory. That was the last ship to leave Hungnam with 5,000 South Koreans backed on it. They gave him the Ambassador's Peace Medal. So I said, I have proof of my dad's service. Can he have one? So my dad was the second South Korean veteran for the Merchant Marine to get that medal.
Wow.
And now any Merchant Marine who served during the Korean War and can show they went within the Korean War Zone mm-hmm. is eligible to get the Ambassador's Peace Medal through the South Korean consulate.
That's really special. And Frank was saying that now you are a part of the association, right?
That is correct.
Of Korean War veterans.
Yes, I'm very flattered and thankful that they did that. I appreciate that.
When did you – I have to ask because, you know, we've been – I think you're absolutely brilliant. And just the amount of research that you put in and the passion, when did you realize that this is something that you were passionate about, just in any of the facets of –
This probably started about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, I didn't think anything unusual about my dad serving in the military. Most people of my age bracket, you know, your parents served in World War II, Korea, Vietnam. And then just to find out how excluded they had been, and that the fact that I actually had, among all of Dad's memorabilia, actual paperwork, physical evidence with government form numbers on it, printed, this kind of thing. That's the documentation you need to make a case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you go and try to convince somebody, hey, I think these people deserve to be veterans, you have to provide proof.
Mm-hmm.
And so between my brother and I, we agreed the American Merchant Marine veterans have a complete copy of all of my dad's papers, because this is important. These men, and there were women, Some of the Merchant Marine ships were passenger ships, so there were stewardesses aboard. Or a lot of the radio operators on board the ship were women.
Mm. Whoa. So, there's a lot of people, men, women, who served.
Yes.
That need to be recognized. What's your, do you have any advice for other families that would like to get involved or focus on this project if they have a Merchant Marine in the family?
Well, they can visit the website, ammv.us. It is an organization that you can join even if your Merchant Marine has passed away. I'm a member. They are looking for the next generation to kind of carry on. There are current Merchant Marine, of course, that we have as members. But, you know, they're willing to take the son of, the daughter of, too, because if you have that person's belongings, like in the case of my dad, mm-hmm. you have a very important part of history, mm-hmm. and you have documentation, and that's evidence, because you can't just have one piece of evidence. You need to have multiple pieces. It can't be just the unusual find. It's got to be, this was commonly done. These were commonly used. These rules were widely published, you know. They don't want. They've awarded Merchant Marines in wars going back to the Revolutionary War medals for exemplary service. Usually the captain of the ship would receive a big award. But that was the exception. Mm-hmm. That didn't make him a veteran. It just meant that one captain got a special award. Mm. We're trying to prove that they all deserve. If you're going to serve during wartime and risk your life trying to deliver supplies in the middle of a war, mm-hmm. you should be a veteran.
So that's where I think it's still one thing that's still on my mind. What does this timeline look like to make big, significant change? What do you think this timeline looks like for you?
Well, it's hard to predict because, you know, we're trying to approach it through several avenues. Again, like I said, if we can find a lawyer or a law firm willing to take on this case, mm-hmm. that would have to work its way through federal court. Mm-hmm. You know, that may take some time. We have the evidence, but that has to be presented. We'll continue going through Congress, through the resources. There's a whole team on the East Coast that's handling Washington, D.C., because they're there, mm-hmm. you know. What we could do here is kind of limited. But, I mean, I appreciate even just the South Koreans recognizing us. That's a step in the right direction, mm-hmm. you know. So any little step that we can do. Since I have only been vice president since January, you know, I've only been to one board meeting by Zoom. So I'm just getting into the swing of things and then with Frank's help, you know, trying to spread the word.
So that timeline, it's a long...
it could be a long time coming.
It's a long time coming, but I hope it's not going to be another 40 years.
Hopefully not.
For real change to happen. And, we're nearing the end of this hour. Do you mind saying... The website that people can visit just to learn more about...
For the Merchant Marine Veterans Association, mm-hmm. it's ammv.us. Mm-hmm. They also have a Facebook page. They also have YouTube videos. Again, just usually if you search for Merchant Marine Veterans, you're going to find those things. And like I said, we're welcome to people who are related to Merchant Marines to also be actively involved. We do tend to be younger. one of our political activists on the team I know in Washington, D.C. is 103.
Really?
Charles is sharp as a tack. I've seen video of him, and nothing gets by him. You know, he's like Frank. He is, you know, he is there. But 103. He's a World War II Merchant Marine.
Wow. That's quite incredible. And 103 is no small feat. Last week I saw that someone was even celebrating their 116th birthday. And
yes,
still
the oldest living woman in the U.S.
So, yes.
Why, well, I'd like to interject right now.
Yes, sir.
That the Merchant Marine Association had started something that they did now, added to their flag. Now, the flag has the emblem with the eagle on it and the shield. Mm-hmm. Now, they added something else to that flag, and it's above in the border, okay, and it says in peace and war. So now that's the official flag. The ones that have been flying all this time before didn't have that in peace and war on it, so that is now the official flag.
That's important, because yeah. That's what we've been talking about.
Right.
That they work in peace and in war. Frank, thanks for telling us about that, because now I'm going to look that up and look at their Merchant Marine flag. It looks like we still have around 2 minutes to 1 minute.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Scarlett Rose, this is a real honor to meet you today. And
thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm really glad I got to learn more about you. And you can also find Scarlett in this last minute at quilt competitions and festivals. And
yeah, I'm a local quilt artist. I belong to the Reading Quilter Society. Quick mention for veterans, there is a Quilts of Valor chapter here in town. For any living veteran, you can submit and get a quilt for them. If you, again, Google Quilts of Valor, the website will come up. So it's a neat way to do a presentation for a vet to receive a special patriotic quilt.
I love that. Well, Ms. Scarlett Rose, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we'll be back at 8 a.m. with KCNR 96.5 FM 1460 AM with Shasta College. Thank you so much.
KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. Amit Thomason. Former President Trump is catching flack from home and abroad for his latest remarks on NATO. Specifically, NATO members paying more for their own defense instead of relying on the U.S. to foot so much of the bill.
At a weekend campaign rally, Trump said Russia should be able to do whatever it wants to NATO members who don't meet their share of defense spending for the alliance. NATO's leader warned that Trump is putting the safety of U.S. troops and their allies at risk. Poland's president denounced Trump's comment, as did the White House. The former president said he would not protect a NATO ally if they were delinquent in payments and said he would encourage Russia to do as it wishes. Greg Clugston, Washington.
All across Ukraine, it has been raining. Raining drones.
Russia has launched a barrage of 45 drones over Ukraine as Kyiv changes more military leaders. In a 5.5-hour barrage, Russia launched drones that attacked agricultural facilities and coastal infrastructure throughout Ukraine. Ukraine's military said that a strike in the Mykolaiv region had injured one person, sparking a fire and damaging residential buildings. Its air force also said it had shot down 40 of the Iranian-made Shahed drones over 9 different regions. I'm Karen Chamas.
After more than 4 months in captivity, 2 more hostages held by Hamas are free. They were rescued by the Israeli military in a daring raid in southern Gaza. Israel estimates as many as 100 people still being held hostage by Hamas. Lloyd Austin is back in the hospital today, but this time the defense secretary did not keep it under wraps. He transferred his authority to his deputy, Kathleen Hicks. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow is trading 53 points higher, NASDAQ up 51. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The new FedNow system is paving the way for the digital dollar. It grants the government unprecedented access to your financial transactions. This isn't just an invasion of privacy. It's a direct assault on your liberty and hard-earned money. It's another reason why I recommend physical gold IRAs from the Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnow. I'm a news analyst and a podcaster with nearly 25 million downloads to people just like you who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Big Brother while also preserving your retirement savings through almost anything, including economic crashes, political instability, and even hyperinflation. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. Remember, there's no strings attached. Text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you're blessed with continued prosperity.
India is welcoming the release of 8 of its nationals sentenced to death last year in Qatar.
India and Qatar, they have been negotiating for months for the release of these 8 former Indian naval officers. And they were given the death sentences in last October that triggered widespread anger on social media in India. Now, the charges against the men have never been published. Neither Qatar nor India have confirmed what the charges were that led to this capital punishment. But then, the Indian media reports suggested that they were accused of spying for Israel.
The BBC's embarrassed Eddie Roshan reporting. A group of British lawmakers has a plan to send some asylum seekers on a one-way trip to Rwanda is fundamentally incompatible with the UK's human rights obligations. It's part of a bill designed to sidestep the UK Supreme Court ruling that the Rwanda plan is illegal. News and analysis. townhall.com. Britain's King Charles goes to church for the first time since his cancer diagnosis was revealed.
King Charles arrived in St. Mary Magdalene Church alongside Queen Camilla to attend a service. The king is recuperating in Sandringham House in eastern England after his first treatment for an unspecified form of cancer. The king recently expressed his gratitude for the public's supportive messages and emphasized that it provides him with the greatest comfort and encouragement. He says that he finds it inspiring that sharing his diagnosis has led to public awareness and has shed light on the crucial work by organizations supporting cancer patients worldwide. King Charles left his home at Clarence House in London after starting his treatment. Rika Ann Garcia, London.
Steady as she goes on Wall Street so far this morning following last week's record-setting performance by the market. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, the Carl and Linda Bott Show. However, today is being it that it's National Football Hangover Day, I have graciously accepted the role to fill in for Carl and Linda Bott today, the day after the Super Bowl. My name is Blake Fisher. I work with Viva Downtown Reading, right up the street at the IOOF Hall. And it's always a pleasure to come fill in on KCNR, our Downtown Reading radio station. Christina, thank you so much for always being so helpful during these radio programs.
I'm always here to help. I'm always happy.
And thank you for making sure the coffee, it was piping hot, too, this morning, because, shoot, 7 a.m., I don't know how they do it. I think Billy and Patrick get up earlier. I was listening to them walking over here, and they were talking about the Super Bowl. I have some guests from Shasta College today, and I'm excited to see my friend Peter Griggs here.
Hey, Blake. It's good to be here.
It's been a while since I've seen you.
It has been. It has been. Shasta College alum.
Shasta College alumni, yes.
Alumni, yes.
Theater and humanities. And Peter and I got to work together through the Shasta College Theater Department.
We did indeed.
Many opportunities. And I love all of the banners that you would design specifically for each parking lot, whether it's sports or the theater department. So.
Well, thank you. I have to give credit where credit's due. That's my able-bodied staff. They are highly talented, much more so than I am. But thank you for that. So it's great to always be a good advocate for the college, you know, help with promoting all of our events, both in theater, sports, you know, and others. So, and we're excited to be here this morning.
And before we go into kind of our topic today, Peter, are you downtown now at the new Community Leadership Center?
So, no, I am not. I'm still out on the college, out on the main campus. And the new Leadership Center houses more of our outreach-facing programs. So our economic and workforce development, of course, fostering kinship care is there, community education. Everybody probably gets those small catalogs in the mail. And so we have a number of other North State Together is over there as well. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still at the main campus, though.
Cool. Wonderful. The main campus is beautiful.
Oh,
I love all those redwood trees out there and pine trees. And
it is. It is. How long has it been since you've been on the campus?
Oh, shoot. I re-enrolled, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, I want to get my business administration degree. So I was there this last semester, and then I'm doing more online. I don't care for online courses. I'd rather be actually at the campus in the classrooms. But
well,
and I love the resource.
Yeah. And it works for many people, especially working adults, right? Our online resources are great for them. Mm-hmm. What we have found, we're watching, of course, our enrollments, and we're up about 7.5%. And a lot of that is for our in-person classes. So we're seeing that a lot of people they want that interaction.
Yeah. They do. And Chess College, shoot, you guys are getting a new library, if it hasn't already been open.
It hasn't been open quite yet. They're putting up some drywall right now.
Exciting.
But 2025, we're looking to reopen that. And I'm very excited. It's a complete facelift, all new infrastructure. And so that should be a huge resource for our students.
And you have a Starbucks out there, too.
Yeah. Yes. I can never really talk about the college unless I mention Starbucks. It seems to be the most popular attraction in the college.
And I have to say, I was blown away by the business classrooms, the business program classrooms. Those are absolutely outstanding.
In our new CIS building?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That is a state-of-the-art facility. The faculty designed that from, you know, inception, and really it is an amazing, amazing building. And if anyone is ever interested, even if you're not taking classes, call up the division, call up Student Life, and come out and take a tour of the campus. A lot has changed. We're very excited by all of the things that we're able to do with Measure H and that it has allowed us to bring to the community. So, very honored.
I'm honored to have been a student there, and I'm honored to meet, you know, we're talking about hands-on learning outside of online, and this is sort of what we get to see, hands-on learning and workforce experience.
Indeed.
So, Peter, you brought Lisa Hovman.
Hovman, yes.
Today.
Good morning.
The director of the apprenticeship program, and Jordan Lynch.
How's it going?
Who is the accounting apprentice, but Jordan's also a local artist and has participated in other downtown art projects like the Art Hunger up the street. So,
right.
Lisa, Jordan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Happy to be
here. We're looking forward to it.
I want to learn more about this apprenticeship program. So, Lisa, tell us a little bit about yourself, your connection to Shasta College, and what is this apprenticeship program?
Yeah, so I joined Shasta College, I think, about 5 years ago now as an admin secretary and kind of just explored different career pathways and ended up in serving students in career services and then transitioned into this apprenticeship role. And apprenticeship programs, we have two of them at the college. We have the accounting apprenticeship, and we also have a forestry and logging apprenticeship. An apprenticeship, they model education and hands-on experience in the field, in your field of study. And so you can do it simultaneously, or you can kind of get your education and then join the apprenticeship program, and we help you find employment with a local organization. And it models, it's an earn and learn model. Typically, you go to school, right? Back in the day, you go to school, then you start earning money. And apprenticeships offers the choice and opportunity to earn money while you're getting your education. And so that's a great overview of an apprenticeship program.
Lisa, that's incredible news. Knowing just as a young professional too, and this could go for any ages, but it's hard to find jobs. And I know that we're in a job market right now, but one of the biggest things that you see is experience required. Experience required, experience required. And when you're going to school and getting out, you don't have that experience just yet unless you get those internship programs.
Exactly.
And at a community college, to be able to do that, especially at a local level, workforce development is one of the most important things that especially these economic development centers and Chamber of Commerce are working on. So for Shasta College, did you to take this on is incredible, and you brought one of the students that are actually doing it. So, Lisa, I have another question. Where did Shasta College decide we should do something like this? And other community colleges, are they doing apprenticeship programs?
Yeah, a lot of community colleges throughout the state have apprenticeship programs. Ours is actually state registered, so we can help employers or those looking for employment anywhere in the state of California. But as we're housed at Shasta College, we focus on our local districts. And we decided to take on apprenticeships because we were out in the field hearing from industry partners that there was a hiring need, especially in these industries. So logging and forestry and accounting, we were seeing an uptick in the trend of retirement, and there was a lack of a student or skilled pipeline to replace those, you know, upper echelon employees. And so this is a great program. Apprenticeships address the hiring need, and we're trying to create, you know, a local talent pipeline to help feed employers skilled and trained apprentices, essentially.
Well, you actually have an apprentice here.
I do.
Jordan Lynch. Jordan, lovely to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Blake.
So how did you find out? Because I have these, you know, questions lined up that I could ask Lisa, but I actually want to talk student to student.
Yeah.
How did you find out about the apprenticeship program?
Well, you know, I started going back to Shasta College in, I think I took a summer course, a session in 2022. You know, I'd been bouncing around on these kind of dead-end jobs, no real career prospects. And, you know, I went back with a buddy, a close friend, and we essentially were like, you know, we need to get something going. You know, my friend had a kid on the way. You know, he's looking to earn a little bit more money, get a career going. And, you know, I'm kind of right there with him. I'm like, you know, I ain't got nothing going on. Let's get this going. So, you know, we returned to Shasta College. I had taken some courses directly out of high school, you know, moved around, finally ended up back in Reading. And, when I returned to Shasta College, we actually were going back for our, to earn a, an accounting clerk, bookkeeping certificate, which is a program offered through Shasta College, just to get some credentials so that we could try and get an entry level job and start working our way up, you know, a job ladder. But, we quickly realized that, you know, after looking at a lot of these, and you mentioned this, but there's so many, there's such a high bar for like a lot of these entry level jobs, and, it can be really difficult if you don't have that experience. And so that was kind of an issue. And a lot of them say you need a bachelor's degree too, right? So it's not just about having 2 years of work experience. You need that bachelor's degree. So, that became the new priority. You know, that summer before we even finished that summer, you know, semester, we decided to just pivot and go for our bachelor's degree. And that took me into taking some, you know, higher-level accounting courses. You know, I took a financial accounting course with Professor Uni Vanderlyn. And she was just such a just a positive, you know, force in my education. And, you know, I spoke with her a little bit more. I had like an office meeting with her that didn't really have a point to it. I was just going to talk to her about my prospects and what my objectives were. And she mentioned this apprenticeship program. She said that it sounds perfect for you. You know, you're going to start earning more money. You're going to get experience. It's going to be killing two birds with one stone. And so I just followed through with that. I thought it was a really cool opportunity, and here we are.
I can't wait to learn more about that, Jordan.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're going to take our first break of this hour. And, Christina, thanks so much. We'll be back with KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
District 4. I've lived in Shasta County for over 50 years, and it's been a true honor to serve as chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors this last year. Proven conservative leadership. I'm leading the effort to build a new correctional facility for Shasta County. Working closely with the sheriff, public works, and our CEO, I believe this will help immensely reduce crime in Shasta County. Thank you for your support. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Hello, Northern California. This is Roland from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center. Since 1982. American flags, American made.
Hi, I'm Matt Plummer, and I'm running for Shasta County District 4 Supervisor because I believe Shasta County could be the best, freest place in California. Instead, crime is increasing while the floor of our jail was closed for over a year, and the sheriff loses deputies. Homeless camps spill onto our streets, our roads are seventh worst in the state, and we lose every battle to Sacramento. The incumbent has had 11 years to fix these issues, but they have only gotten worse. Vote Matt Plummer by March 5th. Paid for by Matt Plummer for Supervisor 2024.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Please join Election Integrity Project California and United Sovereign Americans on February 17th, 11 a.m. at Reading Red Lion Hotel, Sierra Conference Room, for an exciting election presentation. United Sovereign Americans is working with Californians to develop court-worthy evidence regarding violation of federal law to certify invalid elections. Invalid elections include those in which voter rolls contain registrants that do not qualify to be counted, such as deceased, duplicates, or those who have moved. Mark your calendars, February 17th, 11 a.m., Red Lion Hotel, Sierra Conference Room, for an exciting election presentation. Thank you.
Welcome back to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio, the Carl and Linda Bott Show. I'm Blake Fisher from Viva Downtown Reading, filling in today for the program at this downtown radio station. Christina, you always choose the best music.
Thank you. I love my music as my patient, to be honest.
It's hard to get back in these interviews because sometimes I just want to listen to the music, the entire song.
We were all jamming out for a minute
right?
there.
Yeah.
So welcome back to the KCNR show. Today is our Shasta College Monday. I'm here with Peter Griggs of Shasta College.
Good morning.
Lisa Hovman. Hovman.
Hovman.
Thank you. I was reading it as Dub, D-O-B. And Mr. Jordan Lynch. A Shasta College student. We're talking about the apprenticeship program, and before we left, we were talking with Jordan about how he found out the program and mentioned kind of how critical these programs are. So I want to jump back in with that with Lisa. So what's kind of the goal right now with the apprenticeship program, and why do you see it's critical now more than ever?
Well, it's critical because we're addressing workforce needs. We have gotten a lot of feedback from industry partners that we're lacking a pipeline for entry-level employees that then train and keep on as, you know, retain employment. And through their feedback, we learned about apprenticeship programs. And it's great because this program helps keep local talent local. It's industry-led. So our program standards and curriculum were designed to address the needs of employers. They said, this is what we expect of an entry-level employee to produce upon hiring. And so when we refer candidates, apprentices, students, they're confident that they've been trained and learned the topics and the curriculum to succeed in the workforce. And we've learned, we were talking about, you know, minimum qualifications. You need 2 years work experience in accounting to be hired entry level. And that's hard to do while you're getting an education. And so this program offers the opportunity to get that work experience, get paid for it, and also receive your education through Shasta College. And I think that's the beauty of it.
And could you mention again, what are the different apprenticeship programs that this falls under? Who do you get to work with typically on this?
In terms of employers?
Yes.
Yeah, so any employer can sign on if they're interested. It has to be within the industry. So forestry and logging is one of them. Craft is an apprenticeship program. And then Asset is our accounting clerk apprenticeship. Cool. And the beauty of the accounting clerk apprenticeship is that everyone needs an accountant.
Everybody.
It doesn't matter what sector you're in. You need someone to take care of your books. And so we're trying to develop local talent and provide the education and the referrals for job opportunities by utilizing this apprenticeship program.
We were discussing, you know, there's internships and there's apprenticeships. So what's the difference?
I would say the easiest way to sum that up is that an apprenticeship is like a formalized internship. Internships are usually short term. They're unpaid or even volunteer positions, and they're kind of like summer jobs, right? The apprenticeship is long-term. It's about 18 to 24 months, and employers respect that because they understand when they're hiring an apprentice, that apprentice is committed to that long-term job, right? And then it's designed so that after that 18 to 24 months when they complete the program, they remain employed with that employer. They've gotten used to the company culture. They've learned how, you know, to do things the way the company has trained them to do, and that's the pipeline.
And we're sort of talking, you know, we have one of the students right here. You are working as an apprentice accountant at the fly shop right now.
Yes, that's correct.
What has that been like for you as a student, especially working for a local business?
It's been really cool, again, to kind of integrate into the local economy. And that was something about the program that I thought was really interesting was they're bringing all these local businesses in. And so it was nice that I didn't have to, like, uproot my life or anything. I could focus on my education while simultaneously kind of getting to know my local community a little bit better. And fly fishing in Redding is actually like a huge culture. You know what I mean? I had no idea.
It's part of the tourism economy. It's local. People move here for the beautiful rivers that we have.
Yeah.
For fishing. And were you passionate about fishing prior to this, or was this like
not really? Like, my dad took me fishing a couple times when I was little, but never fly fished or anything like that. But all the people that I've gotten to know through the fly shop have been super welcoming, and you know, a lot of them are like, hey, we got to get you out on the river. So I'll probably end up doing it here soon.
That's great to hear.
Yeah,
I have to ask you, and this could either go to Jordan or Lisa, when you do these apprenticeships, do you do the whole process like it would take to apply for a job and get hired? Do you have your students do job interviews before these businesses hire them for the apprenticeship?
It was pretty much a job interview. You know, it's like I had a nice little like referral from Lisa and our folks at Shasta College, but it was very much just going through the process of getting employed. You know, I had an interview with the folks at the fly shop. They got a good read for who I was and how I was gonna, you know, what I was gonna bring to the table. And obviously it helped a lot having the endorsement of Shasta College and folks like Lisa and Angela Cordell, the director.
She's an associate dean now.
Oh wow!
Yeah, wow. But yeah. I'll elaborate on Jordan's answer a little bit. Is that an apprentice is considered a full-time employee. So whatever onboarding or HR processes and procedures an organization has, that apprentice goes through that same process. We try to prepare them as best as we can. We partner with our career services department and offer resume assistance and mock interviews if they need them. We also partner with the Smart Workforce Center to provide, you know, assistance in those regards. So we try and prepare them as best as possible to succeed. But ultimately, the apprentice is responsible for securing that job placement.
Wow.
And it's a challenge, but that offers professional development, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to promote.
That's really incredible to learn about, that you are – this is the whole process. This isn't just you're an apprentice. We're going to put you somewhere. Do you have the students also choose – where they get to work, or do you have a list of, you know, some of these businesses that you're working with?
Yeah, so we have a list of businesses that have signed up to the program already, and we can, you know, any business can sign up for this program if they're looking to hire, and that's you know, a great opportunity for both employers and the apprentices. And so we refer the candidates and apprentices, hey, this job is available, these three employers are looking for an accountant. You should apply for their, you know, those opportunities and kind of prep them. But ultimately, they're responsible for finding employment.
And we were talking still since, you know, this is internship and apprenticeships. And you said this is a paid position.
Yep.
Are they getting paid what a regular employee would be paid, or is it different since it's through the apprenticeship program?
We have a wage scale that's been registered with the state, but we found that our entry-level apprentices are making more than what our labor market data when we originally created this program was offering, which is great. And minimum wage is $16 now. Mm-hmm. And so we find that they're, as an entry-level position, making – a livable wage, right? And then the program requires at least one wage advancement throughout the process. So they're also guaranteed a raise, which is kind of motivates, right? When you're looking forward to making more money.
Yeah, I did like that part.
That's fantastic. Well, hey, I can't wait to learn more about this program, and we're going to take our next break on the Carl and Linda Bott Show. Do we have a phone call? We'll take it. Christina, put him on the line with the next 2 minutes. Good morning, listener. This is Ron.
Yes, good morning. My question is, do you have any shop classes open for stuff? I mean, I know you've gotten rid of the wood shop. What a shame you got rid of all those tools. So do you have an auto shop, a machine shop, classes that qualify for some of what you're talking about?
You bet. So, Ron, we do have what we would call our industrial technology area of the college, and we do have welding, we have automotive, we have diesel technologies over there, machining, which is huge, especially with some of the robotics that they offer over there. And I'll certainly allow Lisa, our subject matter expert here, about apprenticeships, talk more about whether those areas would qualify for the apprenticeship program. I know that the state is constantly looking at other opportunities to bring this program into program areas that we do offer.
Okay.
But for shop specifically, I think those are directly related to what you were asking about. So, Lisa, did you have anything to add about apprenticeships?
Well,
those?
We have non-traditional apprenticeships because a lot of times there's already unions have created, you know, apprenticeships in the trades, construction, things of that nature. So ours that we're responsible for are non-traditional in the logging, forestry, and accounting sector. But there are opportunities, to answer your question, Ron, for, you know, construction and wood shopping and things like that.
So you do have a machine shop left. You haven't got rid of those tools like you did the wood shop tools.
Well, I'll tell you, as a student, hey, Ron, thanks for calling in. Their auto shop is...
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about how great the business shop is, the business classrooms. Their auto shop is fantastic and one of the best programs in the area.
You know, something that probably not a lot of people know is that we just got a Tesla over there. We are teaching all of the most advanced technologies associated with hybrids and electric vehicles as well. Mm-hmm. So it is not just what you might associate with, hey, here's how to change the oil or your spark plugs. These students are really learning for the cars that are driving on our roads today.
Hey, Ron, thank you so much for calling in. We actually have to take our break. So I just want to say thanks for calling in. We're going to jump to our next break right now.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Hobbs, running for supervisor in District 2. We need to fight tyrannical state overreach in this county, and I'm just the person for the job. Shasta must maintain its sovereignty. A vote for me is a vote for local control over hand-counted elections, no state-funded windmills or other green energy nonsense, and absolutely no mask mandates or lockdowns. Make Shasta great again and vote for Laura Hobbs on March 5th. And visit me at VoteLauraHobbs.com for more info.
Paid for by Laura Hobbs for supervisor. District 2, 2024.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hello, this is Wynn Carpenter. I'm running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 3, and I'm ready to serve. I would be honored to be your conservative representative and look forward to doing so. I support the direction the majority of the current board is headed. I support the elimination of the impact fees. I support the Charter County proposal, which will give the local government more control on what we do and how we do it. I support the Second Amendment as stated in the federal and state constitutions. Therefore, I would push to make Shasta County a constitutional carry county. I support a fair and transparent election with traceable and verifiable data. I will stand with the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors to fight the state and its heavy-handedness to shove the Fountain Windmill Project down our throats. I will stand against any imposition from the state, no matter the issue, on legislative or executive matters under the jurisdiction of the Board of Supervisors of Shasta County, paid for by the committee to elect Wynn Carpenter, Supervisor, District 3.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hi, I'm Matt Plummer, and I'm running for Shasta County District 4 Supervisor because I believe Shasta County could be the best, freest place in California. Instead, crime is increasing while a floor of our jail is closed for over a year, and the sheriff loses deputies. Homeless camps spill onto our streets, our roads are seventh worst in the state, and we lose every battle to Sacramento. The incumbent has had 11 years to fix these issues, but they have only gotten worse. Vote Matt Plummer by March 5th. Paid for by Matt Plummer for Supervisor 2024.
Hi, I'm Laura Hobbs. As supervisor, I will fight for all the citizens of Shasta County. Some of the issues I care about are hand-counted elections at the precincts, a fair and just settlement for the victims of the Igo Ono fire and the Acid Canal debacle, and defending Shasta's sovereignty from tyrannical state-down control. I'm against the windmills in Shasta County, and I support the Second Amendment. To find out more, visit VoteLauraHobbs.com. Vote Laura Hobbs on March 5th and make Shasta great again.
Paid for by Laura Hobbs for Supervisor. District 2, 2024.
Welcome back to the KCNR Carl and Linda Bott Show. You're listening to 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. I'm Blake Fisher, filling in for Carl and Linda Bott today. And I'm joined with Shasta College's wonderful Peter Griggs.
Great to be here, Blake.
Lisa Hovman and Jordan Lynch. We've been talking about the apprenticeship program. We're at the bottom of our last half an hour of the Carl and Linda Bott Show. And we just had our caller, weekly caller, I guess, Ron, come on in and ask a couple of questions about Shasta College's program, which I think this will be great to lead into. For those wondering, this is an apprenticeship program, and, you know, they have different programs around Shasta County, like the Shasta Builders Exchange Trade School and Workforce Development Program. So what's the difference between Shasta College's as a college's apprenticeship program compared to these other programs?
Yeah, that's a great question. Ours, we worked hard and worked directly with the Division of Apprenticeship Standards to make these apprenticeship programs registered with the state. So they are state-registered apprenticeship programs, and upon completion, Jordan's expected to complete this year. And what does that mean exactly? That means you've completed your education, and you've completed the required on-the-job training hours, so that's employment, and upon completion, you receive a state-recognized certificate, which is great for your portfolio, it's a great resume builder, and it's transferable throughout the state of California, and I think that's a large incentive for those interested in joining the program.
Looks like we have another. This is the call-in show, it looks like, this morning. So our next caller is John. Good morning, John.
Yeah, I'm calling. Actually, my name is Sean.
Sean.
But, sorry. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Thanks,
I'm
Sean.
I took the PLC course out there, and I know it's kind of been hit or miss on that, especially since COVID, but that was a great course, and I know that there's probably a half dozen of us here locally who, since that course, are making a six-figure income.
Wow.
I know Bureau of Reclamation, City of Redding, Bullard Electric, several local companies, Sierra Pacific, pick up those guys like crazy. So I would suggest you guys bring that back and encourage people to take that course, especially if they're already electricians or they're going through the apprenticeship as an electrician.
Could you, for our listeners, could you say what that program was again?
It's the PLC course, the INDE 41, 42, 43, and 44.
How long ago did you take that program?
I took it probably 7 years ago, but almost immediately got hired into a job that pays pretty good.
That's incredible. Peter, do you have any comment on that?
Well, we do have a number of courses out there. I'm not familiar with that particular course, Sean, but I appreciate the note and that it helped you find a great job, obviously. We also have... Go ahead, sorry.
I would say, yeah, several people. John McClain teaches that course out there.
Okay. And I know that we have, you mentioned Bureau of Rec at City of Reading. You know, one of the other programs that we have out there that's probably little known is our water and wastewater treatment program. And that's something that every municipality needs, and you can get a great wage off of it. So it's amazing to me, you know, we come out on the show, I get to learn about all of the great programs that we have, and programs that really not just a livable wage, but can really accelerate your career potential.
Sean,
yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for calling on this.
Yep.
We'll talk to you soon. All right. That's cool. I'm learning a lot, too. Like I said, I was in the Humanities Theater Department on the other side and then just re-enrolled. Mm-hmm. So there's all these wonderful programs. Lisa, Jordan, I'm really excited to have you guys on here. And I want to talk to Jordan a little bit more about this. So you're back in school, mm-hmm. and for, you know, people returning to school, I just want to hear from your perspective. What's it like to be back in school and potentially balancing classes along with this apprenticeship program?
Yeah, well, you mentioned that you were thinking about, you did re-enroll for a business admin degree, and that's actually what I went back for. So working towards earning my bachelor's in business admin. As far as what it looks like, I had to work full time, prior to getting this apprenticeship. But it was just, you know, these jobs, it's like sometimes I'd be working multiple jobs, you know, and so like juggling that and my education was, it was challenging. And I'm not going to say it's like, you know, all roses and it's easy to do. But if you're motivated and you want to make it happen, then like the opportunities are there. Right. But yeah, so and especially with when the job I'm working is integrated with the education that I'm taking, it makes it so much easier to learn the material. First off, it's that synthesis of practice versus theory, right? So that's a big part of why this program is so important to me. When I'm at my job, it doesn't feel like I'm spending time away from my education. It feels like I'm in, like enriching my education, right? And so That's really like the big part of this program for me that I'm taking from it.
What would be your advice for, you know, people that are interested in this program if they're hesitant?
If you're hesitant, I'd say try and put that in the back of your mind and just and it's such a good opportunity. So when I started going back to college in the most recent back in 2022. Like I said, I was looking for more advancement in a career. You know, I wanted to get that established and get that going, you know. And I was under the impression that it was going to be I have to get my bachelor's and then I can start working on my career. And it felt like such a long road ahead of me. And it was a little discouraging, you know. But when I heard about this program and how it allows you to essentially you're getting to do both of those things at once. And it feels like I'm getting ahead, you know what I mean? And so I would just say try and focus on that aspect of it, you know, like where do you want to be? Like, you know, do you still want to be taking classes and working towards your career goals? But this is just a boost in the right direction. You know what I mean? So I would recommend it if you even have an inkling of interest in this program. I would reach out to Shasta College. I think there's a website you can go to.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say next steps.
Yeah, we'll lead that into Miss Lisa now.
Yeah, so if you're interested, whether you're an employer looking to hire or an apprentice or a student that wants a job in their field of interest, for us it would be accounting and logging and forestry, look up apprenticeship on the Shasta College website. You can Google it or just use the search bar. My contact information is on all of those web pages. We have Facebook pages, a craft Facebook page, and an asset for our accounting clerk apprenticeship. So, or you can just Google my name, Lisa Hofman, and reach out to me directly, and I can talk to you about next steps, incentives, the benefits of this program. And again, that's for employers that are interested in hiring, and students or apprentices that are interested in joining the program.
Now I get to ask, is this a semester program? Is it like fall, summer, spring program, or is it you're enrolled and now you're part of it year round?
That's a great question. So it's flexible. For example, Jordan joined the apprenticeship program when he already completed one or two semesters of accounting classes. So he's gotten the foundation of his education and was a great candidate for employment. If you're just starting your education, we typically work on a case-by-case basis. You need some groundwork. You need a level of education to join the workforce. And so it just depends on the person and their status.
And how long is the program till you get the certification?
It's about 18 to 24 months to complete the education portion, and then there's 3,000 hours that are required for the on-the-job training, which is your full-time employment, and that equates to about
I think it's 18 months.
Yeah, 18 to 24 months.
About a year and a half, full-time work. If you're doing 40 hours a week, it'll be about a year and a half.
So start. I think this is one of those things that I always thought about, and for especially as a student getting back. If you're hesitant and thinking, oh, it's a long time, a year and a half later, if you sign up now, you'd be set.
You'd be set with a state-recognized certificate, a year and a half of work experience in your field of interest, and you're earning academic credit while working. So.
And it's not that long. I can't believe that we're already past Super Bowl Sunday of 20.
I know.
Like how fast this year is flying.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're getting ready for our next break, and then we'll finish out the show just to hash out the rest of the details of this program. Thank you guys for joining us today.
Of course,
and you'll
absolutely.
Be back with KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Carl and the Nabat Show.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. I've lived in Shasta County for over 50 years, and it's been a true honor to serve as chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors this last year. Proven conservative leadership. I'm leading the effort to build a new correctional facility for Shasta County. Working closely with the Sheriff, Public Works, and our CEO, I believe this will help immensely reduce crime in Shasta County. Thank you for your support. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Hobbs, running for Supervisor in District 2. We need to fight tyrannical state overreach in this county, and I'm just the person for the job. Shasta must maintain its sovereignty. A vote for me is a vote for local control over hand-counted elections, no state-funded windmills or other green energy nonsense, and absolutely no mask mandates or lockdowns. Make Shasta great again and vote for Laura Hobbs on March 5th. And visit me at VoteLauraHobbs.com for more info.
Paid for by Laura Hobbs for Supervisor. District 2, 2024.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blazengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Mark Mazzano is a 29-year veteran of the California Highway Patrol who retired with honors.
Go with Mazzano.
Mark's a proven leader in law enforcement and government. Someone who gets things done.
Go with Mazzano.
A new voice for the North State who will finally represent everyone in District 1.
Go with Mazzano.
My name is Mark Mazzano. I approve this message.
Paid for by Mazzano for Assembly 2024.
Hey, listeners, when it comes to romance, what's more romantic than two forks sharing one creamy, delicious piece of cheesecake? Drizzle that cheesecake with Nutella, the irresistible and beloved cocoa hazelnut spread, and you've got a shareable sweetheart of a dessert to finish off your Black Bear Diner meal. So grab your Valentine and make your way to Black Bear Diner for a cozy and shareable celebration. Order online at blackbeardiner.com or stop by daily at our Reading location.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, I'm Laura Hobbs. As supervisor, I will fight for all the citizens of Shasta County. Some of the issues I care about are hand-counted elections at the precincts, a fair and just settlement for the victims of the Igo Ono fire and the Acid Canal debacle, and defending Shasta's sovereignty from tyrannical state-down control. I'm against the windmills in Shasta County, and I support the Second Amendment. To find out more, visit VoteLauraHobbs.com. Vote Laura Hobbs on March 5th and make Shasta great again.
Paid for by Laura Hobbs for Supervisor. District 2, 2024.
Please join Election Integrity Project California and United Sovereign Americans on February 17th, 11 a.m. at Reading Red Lion Hotel, Sierra Conference Room for an exciting election presentation. United Sovereign Americans is working with Californians to develop court-worthy evidence regarding violation of federal law to certify invalid elections. Invalid elections include those in which voter rolls contain registrants that do not qualify to be counted, such as deceased, duplicates, or those who have moved. Mark your calendars February 17th, 11 a.m., Red Lion Hotel, Sierra Conference Room for an exciting election presentation. Thank you.
And welcome back to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, the Carl and Linda Bott Show. I'm Blake Fisher, filling in for Carl and Linda today from Viva Downtown, right up the street. And we're looking at our last, we just got off of our last break to finish up the morning show.
We did. It's amazing how fast it goes.
It goes fast. Today, for those who are tuning in for these last 10 minutes, we've been joined today with Shasta College's Peter Griggs, Lisa Hoffman, and student Jordan Lynch to talk about the apprenticeship program. And leading back in, one of what we want to talk about is re-enrolling adults and adults that are interested in furthering their education or just getting back. So what do you guys – what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this is this apprenticeship specifically is great for adults or, you know – upskilling or reskilling, depending on what your interests are. So for accounting specifically, maybe you want to go back to school, and while doing so, you need to earn a livable wage. Maybe you have a family at home. This is a great opportunity to receive an education and also earn money. And then being a Shasta College student through this apprenticeship program, we have a lot of programs on campus that can support and help you, whether that's financially or with resources, services. And so it just takes, you know, take action. Take that first step. That's the hardest part, is getting started. And then whether it's our program or another one of Shasta College's programs, there are people there to support you throughout the entire process.
Peter, you're talking about some other programs for adults that are needing to get it done sooner rather than later, or condensing courses, or what does that look like?
You bet. And we have had some of our other programs out here who have taken advantage of what we call our ACE program. And that's really kind of where we've taken a semester program, and we've condensed it down to an eight-week section. And you're still getting the exact same material, but it's just within a condensed eight-week time period. And that program is great. It's probably time we came back on and talked about it again. But you really go through, if you follow the traditional path, you go through with a cohort. And so you have this group of students who are working through that program with you. And oftentimes as an adult, sometimes there's trepidation of going back to college. And what am I getting into? I had one young lady who had gone to college initially, right, and hated math, just could not get through it. And a couple of years later, she had had a family, decided it was time to come back, and took it straight on. Took a calculus class. As soon as she got done with class, she would go over to our tutoring and learning center, right, which we offer free tutoring and helpful learning processes. I know Jordan had mentioned he was a tutor out at it.
That's right.
And had sat there and would just work through the problems until she got it. And it turned out that she actually loved math. She just needed that extra handheld, that extra bit of help. And so we have a number of resources out there for all of our students, including our returning adults. And that 8-week compressed course offering is throughout the college. We have a number of different programs now that do that can take advantage of that.
And I can't speak highly enough about the counselors that are at Shasta College. So that's one of the big things. If you're thinking about re-enrolling, reach out to a counselor, because Shasta College will make it easy that you can enroll on My Shasta or go online and get those. But if you're with a counselor, you can create an education plan and ask more questions about these programs. And what's the best way to schedule with a counselor at Shasta College?
You know, if you go online, you can do online scheduling, and you don't have to come in. They will also talk to you right there directly over the phone or through a web chat, and so you can also do it that way. Our counselors are great, and it's more than just, here, let's get you into, you know, this class for this semester. We encourage you, come back every semester, check in again, just like Jordan, right? Okay, I'm going for this, but I found out about X, Y, and Z.
Right. So when I went to meet with my professor, my accounting professor, Yoni Vanderlyn, originally, I didn't go in there thinking, okay, we're going to set up like a plan and I'm going to make this happen. It was, I just wanted to tell her what my current plans were, which is just to go to school, earn a bachelor's degree, get a better job so I can earn a better wage. Mm-hmm. And I found out about this program through that. It wasn't, it's like you have to put yourself out there. You got to go out there, to find those opportunities. So, don't be afraid, you know, like, you're not going to get anywhere unless you put yourself out there. So I think that's a big part of it.
Blake, one of the other things that I was hoping Lisa could talk just a little bit towards, with these apprenticeship programs, and our employers are so critical to their success. Lisa, perhaps you could talk about just some, I know you had mentioned the Smart Center already, but how that process works, some of the advantages that the Smart Center brings to it.
Yeah, so we partner closely with Smart, but we are able to assist employers. If you hire an apprentice, we work closely with Smart, and they can reimburse up to 50% of an apprentice's wages for up to 3 to 6 months, depending on eligibility. It differs based on the candidate, but that's a great incentive for employers to sort of test pilot a new employee, right? And it costs you half as much because you're getting reimbursed for those wages, and essentially we find you a great match. But I think that's a big incentive for employers if you join this program.
I am so happy to be back at Shasta College, and I'm so excited for all the, you know, expansion that you guys have been doing. Lisa, what are the best success stories that you've seen while working on this program?
You know, I think Jordan is a great example. He kind of took the initiative to say, you know what, I want my career pathway, I want to make a plan for myself, and committed to this program. And since day one, he's been committed. We've gotten great feedback from his employers. He earned his education and is progressing in his field of study, and that's the ultimate goal for a lot of us, right? And then we have two young ladies in our forestry and logging apprenticeship, and that's unconventional, right? They're operating heavy equipment. We've heard from their employers that they're some of their best operators running this logging equipment, and that's a great success story for females in that industry to succeed and be respected. And so each of our apprenticeship programs offer opportunities for people to succeed and to grow professionally.
Do you two probably have the stats or the data on your head? How much more can an adult make with an AA degree and a bachelor's degree past high school? Do you guys have that off the top of your head?
You know, lifetime earning potential just for an AA, it really is huge compared to a high school diploma. And anymore, as Jordan already mentioned, so often our employers are now looking for, for certain industries, we're looking for that bachelor's. And this is a great opportunity to come in, get your AA, or what we would call an AAT or AST, which is a transfer degree. And we have a number of programs for CSU transfer, right, where you are guaranteed admission. So you know going in, I take these classes, obviously I pass these classes, I have a guaranteed slot at a CSU. And then we also have TAG for the UCs. But yes, the earning potential just for getting, for getting an associate's degree elevates over your lifetime fourfold from what you would get at just with a bachelor or just with a high school diploma. And so if you're a returning adult, if you're a student who perhaps, you know, you're in high school and you're like, boy, this college or this school thing just isn't for me. College, what we offer at Shasta College, has a variety of different programs, very hands-on applications, just like with the apprenticeship. It really takes the theory from the classroom and helps you apply it immediately. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, take a closer look. It's maybe not quite what you're used to in the traditional sense, and we have a great many programs out there, just like Sean had called in and talked about that program or the wastewater treatment program that we have. You had mentioned the automotive with the hybrid vehicles that we're now getting in. It really, we continue to expand our programs. Lisa had mentioned that we have all of our industry partnerships. That's really critical because we're the community's college, right, as we've so often heard from our president. And so we listen to our community. You know, what is it that we need in order to drive our economic engine for Shasta County, Shasta Trinity, and Tehama? And how
can
we help with that?
Talent local.
Exactly.
I love that.
Exactly.
You said that, Lisa.
Yeah.
Lisa, I have to, with the last couple of minutes, is there a cap to students that you accept?
Nope. We're state registered. So anyone can technically become an apprentice, and any employer is eligible to sign on to the program to hire an apprentice.
And then what's the best way to, closing out, how can people get involved in this program? What's kind of the process, just to wrap up?
I would say just reach out to me. We talk about what your needs are, whether you're an apprentice or employer. We try and pay attention to your current situation and address the needs that you are looking for. And so I think the best way is just to reach out to me directly, and I like to meet with everyone one-on-one to get more information.
And, Blake, just real quick, if, you know, you're driving, whatever, you can't remember, reach out to a counselor at Shasta College. Mention what you've heard, and we're all tied into each other. And so they will get you to the right place.
Jordan, any closing thoughts on you?
I just want to reiterate how important this program has been for me and my professional development, how grateful I am that, you know, we have people like Lisa, Angela, Cordell, Yoana Vanderlyn again. That's, what, I think, the third time I've mentioned her. But she has been really instrumental
dynamic
in getting me into here. And everyone at the Fly Shop, Lisa Garassi at Golden Valley Bank, she's been really, really, really cool too. So, meet a lot of really great people through this thing. I never really saw myself at this spot, but I'm glad I'm here, you know, so, and so grateful, so.
Peter, who are you bringing? Thank you guys for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Peter, who are you bringing next week?
You know, it's always a rotation, so, and Sean has given me some good things to go back and take a look at.
Sweet.
Talked with Carl here just recently about doing some data. You had mentioned some data statistical numbers, so we might be bringing in our research department.
I can't wait. Well, thank you guys for joining us, and thanks for tuning in to Carl and Linda Bott's show. You're listening to KCNR, Radio 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Thanks, Christina. Down.